homicide investigation. Shocking developments in South Carolina.
It's a day that I have been waiting for. The best news I've heard in 8 years.
In a mysterious death once ruled a hit and run.
He had no abrasions, no torn clothes. His shoes were still on his feet.
The victim, a former classmate of Alec Murdoch's only surviving son, Buster. The case reopened after discovery in the Murdoch family double murder investigation. As Buster Murdoch addresses the rumors, what really happened that night?
If Stephen Smith was murdered, who did it?
Plus, spring break gone wild. The annual Ride of Revelry. Now a state of emergency in Miami.
These aren't spring breakers, they're lawbreakers.
As crowds pack South Beach.
We had multiple human stampedes of hundreds of people rushing at you like a tsunami. We're all in mortal danger.
With two dead in separate shootings.
We're gonna do everything we can to get rid of spring break.
And ranch ice cream? The frozen food trend that's dividing TikTok. So is it good?
That's not bad, actually.
Or is it gross?
Whoa.
Nightline has the scoop.
Nightline.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us. The South Carolina investigation into the death of Stephen Smith went cold for years, but his family never stopped believing that what happened that night was no accident. Now they know investigators agree, and like so much in that part of the state, there is a Murdoch connection. Here's ABC's Eva Pilgrim.
It's a day that I have been waiting for. The best news I've heard in 8 years.
Shocking new developments in the mysterious death of 19-year-old Stephen Smith, whose body was found nearly 8 years ago on a dark country road in Hampton County, South Carolina. For years, the case lingered as a hit and run, but now authorities confirming there is an active homicide investigation into his death.
Stephen was an amazing kid, and he didn't deserve to die this way. And I know somebody did it, and whoever did it needs to come forward and bring peace to this family.
In this small South Carolina town where everyone knows everyone, Smith was a classmate of Alec Murdoch's only surviving son, Buster. Once again, the spotlight is on Hampton County and the Murdoch family, who for so long were a symbol of wealth and influence. The announcement comes less than a month after Alec Murdoch was convicted of the double murders of his wife Maggie and other son Paul, captivating the nation in a dramatic 6-week-long trial.
Guilty verdict.
Although Stephen Smith died in 2015, it wasn't until 2 years ago in June 2021 that law enforcement reopened Smith's case. They discovered new evidence while looking into the double murders.
At some point in the Murdoch investigation, which was very broad and all-encompassing, something happened in that investigation that made them take a fresh look at Stephen's case.
Stephen's mother, Sandy Smith, never lost her belief that something more happened to her son. She posted a GoFundMe link in hopes of exhuming her son's body to re-examine his cause of death. She has since raised more than $90,000.
He was a loving, beautiful child. Had ambitions, wanted to be a somebody, and he was working on that, and somebody stole it from him.
I know Sandy Smith has been pushing, fighting, trying to get anyone to pay attention to Stephen's case for now nearly 8 years.
For 8 years, having to live with that, to be told for the first time by SLED, you're not crazy, we believe you, we think you're right, and we're going to find out the truth.
The South Carolina Law Enforcement Division SLED team said that while they do not need to exhume his body, they will be present and participate in any exhumation of Stephen's body to gather more evidence. Buster Murdoch earlier this week breaking his silence to address the rumors of his involvement, saying in a statement, "I have tried my best to ignore the vicious rumors about my involvement in Stephen Smith's tragic death that continue to be published in the media as I grieve over the brutal murders of my mother and brother." Continuing, "These baseless rumors of my involvement with Stephen and his death are false. I unequivocally deny any involvement in his death, and my heart goes out to the Smith family." Stephen Smith was headed home from nursing school on the night his body was found in the middle of Sandy Run Road, a man who was driving by calling 911.
Hampton County 911, where's your emergency?
I see somebody laying out.
And is it in the road or on the side of the road?
He's in the road. Somebody boy hit him. It's dark.
All right. We'll get an officer headed out that way.
At the time, it was ruled a highway vehicular manslaughter. But even then, some authorities weren't confident.
He had no abrasions, no torn clothes. His shoes were still on his feet. Cell phone still in his pocket.
The fact that his shoes were still on and the fact that the injuries on his body to his left arm, his upper torso and head didn't seem to reflect that of a hit and run car accident. Also, it's a human body. If a car hits it, you would think there'd be some sort of debris from the car. None was found.
At the time, authorities declared the cause of death as blunt head trauma. The South Carolina Highway Patrol reporting that the only injuries to the victim were around the head area. But Stephen Smith's mother, Sandy Smith, remains convinced it wasn't a hit and run.
I was always fighting that this was a homicide and not a vehicle versus pedestrian.
Before I could get out the car good, Connor said, "No, that's not a wreck, it's a murder."
And first responder Tommy Moore agrees, telling our ABC affiliate WCIV he didn't think the 19-year-old was hit by a car.
Two things that come to my mind, either he was murdered there or he was murdered elsewhere and dropped there.
The report also says, according to family, Stephen never would have been walking in the middle of the roadway. And Stephen Smith's sister, Stephanie, says her family got a call the day her brother died.
Well, the day that Stephen passed away, Randy Murdoch was the second person to call my dad after the coroner. And he said he wanted to take the case and it would be free of charge and everything.
The family, known for their power in this small town, has been in the public eye for years now. The patriarch, Alec Murdoch, was once a high-power attorney.
The influence of the Murdoch family goes back generations to even Alec Murdoch's great-grandfather, and even probably further than that, because of their ties to the prosecutor's office in that community.
Carry forth.
Now, he's spending his life in prison, convicted of killing his wife Maggie and son Paul.
The Murdoch family seems to be surrounded in scandal in every way that you look and turn.
It was a case that gripped the Lowcountry of South Carolina starting back in June 2021 when Alec Murdoch called 911.
Hampton County 911, what's your emergency?
This is Alec Murdoch. I need the police to stand up immediately. My wife and child got badly.
Maggie Murdoch and their son Paul were found dead on the Murdoch's property.
You ever see any tears in your interactions with Mr. Murdoch?
He did not appear to be crying. He was upset, but I did not see any visible tears.
The trial spanned 6 weeks, with Murdoch maintaining his innocence.
Good morning, Your Honor. I'm innocent. I would never hurt my wife, Maggie, and I would never hurt my son, Paw-Paw.
But ultimately found guilty and sentenced to life without parole, though he since appealed. Now, with the trial having come to a close, all eyes are on the Smith case. Smith's attorney saying that law enforcement said they were waiting until the Murdoch trial was over before making this announcement out of concern that witnesses would not be as forthcoming under the Murdoch sphere of influence.
Them withholding information probably has two effects. One, that during the trial, they don't want to put out any salacious information that might affect the jury and might affect that trial, could have caused a mistrial. But two, the influence of the Murdochs might have been so widespread that witnesses would not want to come forward until they saw that this larger-than-life figure in their community could actually be convicted of a crime.
Stephen Smith was a beloved brother, son, and friend.
Stephen was funny, the life of the party, very intelligent, sassy. We were always together. We would always do anything together, regardless if I wanted to do it or not.
There's hardly words to describe him. Jubilant, crazy, an actor. He could cry on a dime.
His hair had to be perfect, his makeup had to be perfect. He didn't miss a beat.
And he was openly gay in this very small town, which could not have been easy.
I know a lot of people ask me, when did Stephen come out? And he never had to come out, you know, because it's just something we knew, and it didn't matter to us. I was so proud of him. You know, because his favorite saying is, I am who I am, and God made me, and God don't make mistakes. He was going to get his nursing degree and then work his way up to a medical doctor and go overseas to take care of children who did not have any medical attention.
I wanted to see him be the doctor that he wanted to be, because he always talked about helping people.
As his family continues to mourn his loss, they hope this week's new developments will finally lead to answers.
There's no question people know what happened. There's no question. An event like that in a community that small, somebody knows something from that night.
It might be difficult to answer the ultimate question that probably everyone wants to know. If Stephen Smith was murdered, who did it?
Our thanks to Eva. Up next, spring break mayhem in Miami triggers a state of emergency. Why some in South Beach want this party over.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It is that time of year again in Miami, the annual influx of spring breakers looking to party. But between the crowds and the chaos, some say it's time for this tradition to end. ABC's Victor Akindo is in South Beach.
Spring break in Miami. Historically, it's a wild time. But not this wild or dangerous. Miami Beach officials declaring a state of emergency after shootings over this past week left two people dead on famous Ocean Drive as spring break crowds surged.
Policemen on bikes, there are way more security guards. It's definitely more lockdown than it was.
They need to shut it all off and take the party off the streets.
Every noise that's going on, we scared.
A suspect was taken into custody in each incident. The chaos has left city officials at a loss.
I don't think any mayor could say we did everything we could when you have deaths like this. I think that what we have not been able to figure out, and I think where we have failed, is how do we stop spring break from happening?
What are these spring break crowds doing to business?
They're destroying it.
David Wallach has been in the middle of the action for more than three decades. His popular restaurant and nightclub, Mango's Tropical Cafe, is in the heart of South Beach.
Anyone who thinks that, look at the money they're making, that's an absolute lie.
That's not the case.
It is not the case. The only ones who are stuck on the front lines are the businesses and our staff.
Wallach didn't want to take any chances, deciding to close Mango's early throughout the weekend, as this, captured on the restaurant's surveillance cameras, was playing out just outside.
We had multiple human stampedes of hundreds of people rushing at you like a tsunami of people, plates, glass flying, people running over each other. Thank God nobody was trampled. We're all literally in mortal danger in that kind of a situation.
Can you believe you're even saying that right now, given that we're talking about spring break crowds on Miami Beach?
Victor, it's so surreal.
He believes city officials should be doing more.
The city did not give us any French barricades. We had no cars and no barricades. We were totally defenseless.
So far this spring break season, Miami Beach police have arrested more than 320 people and confiscated more than 70 firearms, four of them from those deadly shooting scenes.
Our residents are rarely involved in any of this in any way. We're policing somebody else's playground. Our cops have tried to figure out the best ways to clear tens of thousands of people off of streets, the best way to stop public brawling, the best way to stop riotous behavior. But that's very hard to do.
And it's not a new challenge. Last year, 5 people were wounded in 2 separate spring break shootings.
You are commanded to immediately and peacefully disperse.
The year before, Miami Beach police resorted to using pepper balls to try and control the crowds. After a curfew was imposed on Sunday, Miami Beach's city commission voting against a curfew this upcoming weekend, the vote dividing the council.
Our city needs to be safe. Our visitors need to realize that this is a community that values its laws.
Punishing our businesses that are law-abiding and all of their employees, I don't think that's also a good solution.
I wanted us to have a curfew this weekend. A majority of my colleagues did not want to have it. I don't think you can balance public safety against anything else, including what would have been just a few hours, frankly, of bar receipts.
And city officials are bracing for yet another big weekend. The stage is being set for the Ultra Music Festival. It draws more than 150,000 visitors, and that's on top of those in town for spring break. We're in downtown Miami, just across the causeway to Miami Beach.
Mayor Gelber is determined to end Miami Beach's reputation as a spring break destination.
I am constantly telling my residents, I apologize that they have to endure it, that they shouldn't have to, and that we're much better than this. We are an art and culture destination. That's who we are. We're going to do everything we can to get rid of spring break, and hopefully this will be the last year we have these issues.
But some locals may take it into their own hands.
I have a message to the leaders of our city. Next year, immediately declare an 8 o'clock p.m. curfew for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. If I don't see that happen, I'm closing Mango's and putting my stamp on their paid vacation.
Our thanks to Victor. Up next, a side of ranch? Ice cream, that is. Nightline gets a taste of the frozen food controversy.
It's too sweet.
Right.
Ow, my brain.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially 4 trials facing former President Trump as he makes his 3rd bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
And finally tonight, spring has arrived, and that means we all scream for ice cream. But a savory new flavor is trying to steal the spotlight. Ranch. Yep, just like the salad dressing. Nightline's Grant Gibbs has the scoop.
I love me some ranch, but I don't know how I feel about ranch ice cream.
That distinctive blend of garlic, onion, and spices stunning taste buds across social media.
That's not bad, actually.
Oh!
Well, here we are. We have the Hidden Valley Ranch ice cream, and we're gonna try it right now. Well, off the bat, it looks like vanilla ice cream. It smells a little weird. So we have stuff that you normally, you know, pair ranch with. We have carrots, pretzels, buffalo wings, and even pizza. Look at this. Just, it's literally like a cookie sundae, but a buffalo chicken tender. How cool is that?
The more I tasted, the more confused I got. So I asked my Nightline colleagues to join in.
Why is it kind of slap?
No.
I wasn't expecting that.
It's too sweet.
Right.
Oh, my brain.
You guys are
I don't hate it.
Oh my God.
It doesn't taste like ranch.
It's weird.
It's actually sweeter than I expected.
Yeah.
I kind of like it.
No.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's not bad, but it's odd.
The ice cream is on shelves now till the end of May.
Good luck.
No chance. I'm a vanilla ice cream kind of guy. That's Nightline for this evening. Catch our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here same time tomorrow. Thanks for the company, America. Good night.